teaching here. Praise God, this is week 8 overall of the entire course, and class number 1. Open in your outline to page 25. The Lord instructed me to do a little bit of review tonight, more so than we normally do, before going further into the material, the new material. And we're to review this whole concept of the pound and provision, because this is such a new concept for a lot of people. Now, once again, and we're not going to go through all of this, but just kind of briefly review it. Once again, provision is what you live on. Food, the utilities, kids need clothes, so it includes that. You need clothes, it includes that. You need soap and deodorant. It definitely includes that. It's, in other words, it's just, you know, the day-to-day, this is what you live by kind of stuff. It possibly includes cable TV. Now, the reason I say possibly is because God may deal with you about canceling your cable if you have it. See, I don't know. I can't say you need to do that. Nor can I say you need to keep it. This is something you have to deal with as far as you know you and God is, are concerned. But the provision is what it takes to live. The provision is gas in your car. The provision is just all of this kind of thing, which you know I feel like you've got the idea. The pound is anything over and above provision. Now, this is extremely important because it's such a different concept. Essentially, in the body of Christ, we've been taught to look forward to increase, and that essentially the increase is ours to do whatever we want with. But what we saw, and again, you go back, listen to the tapes from last week, you'll get more of the detail. The pound is what we are supposed to be stewarding for Jesus. Now, does this mean that we never have any fun? Does this mean that we never get to do anything? That's not what this means at all. Again, go back, listen to the tapes from last week. But what it means is that our increase is to be looked at differently than what we've looked at it before. Now, granted, we can come up with all kinds of extenuating circumstances. I'm married to an unbeliever, and there is no way he or she is going to even come close to accepting anything like that. I know that, and so does God. So He's already got something in the works for you. You need to get in there with Him and find out how to handle all of this, okay? But nevertheless, the pound is what you are stewarding for the purpose of your master, who is Jesus, obviously. And so, it's just like your boss at work. Okay, think of it like this. When you are managing or stewarding the pound, you have to keep in mind it belongs to your master. It's not yours. That's why I put in here to consider opening a separate bank account and call it a pound account. Now, again, that's not doctrine. It's not scriptural. It's just an idea. It's something that you could consider doing. Some people would have a very difficult time managing pound money and provision money in the same bank account. So, to make that easier, maybe if you opened a separate bank account, savings, checking, I don't know, whatever. But again, this is something you deal with God about that. You pray with Him and get direction from Him. It's just, Kathy and I did it that way. Pound and provision. We had separate account for provision, separate account for pound. And it made life a whole lot easier. But the pound account, the pound money, it belongs to your master. And this is extremely important. Think about if you... listen, I don't know if anybody here works in a bank. Just imagine you worked at a bank. All right? Now, using that example, provision would be the paycheck they give you every couple of weeks. Okay? Pound is everything that comes in as you're working the window, all right? Now, if you run into an emergency, you don't take some money out of the register or out of the till at the bank and put it in your pocket and say, well, I don't know what the problem is. I mean, after all, the money's right there at my disposal, and we've got to get the car fixed. So, Mr. Banker, bank manager, Mr. Bank owner, I don't know, well, what's the problem? Well, we all know what the problem is. It's called stealing. And you don't do that. You don't touch that. And you would never even think of doing such a thing, would you? Likewise, if you work at a car dealership and your car breaks down, you don't just go get the keys for a brand new car and take the license plate off of your old car and put it on the new and drive around town and say it's yours. It doesn't work that way. You see what I'm saying? Likewise, you have to develop the same perspective for pound and provision. If you don't, then all you've done is set up a separate account, or you've got separate money in an old Folgers can or whatever it would be, and whenever you feel like there's an emergency, you're going to dip into it. You have to come to the understanding of pound money is not my money. Pound money belongs to Jesus. He's given me the assignment of managing pound money for Him, for His kingdom, for His glory, and for no other reason. Now, if I run into car problems, I don't dip into the pound. If my furnace breaks down, I don't dip into the pound. If I have this problem, or I don't dip into the pound. Again, use the example of the bank. You don't steal the money from the bank. If you got a car problem, what do? Well, you've got to figure something else out, don't you? You might call friends, Romans, or countrymen to borrow some money or something. You go to your church for help. I don't know. But you don't steal it from your employer. Well, if we look at the pound in the same way, that money, see, folks, this is a test. It's God. Once you make this kind of a commitment and you say, God, that's pound, this is provision, and never the twain shall meet. He's in heaven like this. He's up in heaven saying, okay, you've given me your word that this is how you're going to operate, and you have committed to me that you want to be a steward of a pound. Okay? Money's going to start coming into you, because once you've made that kind of a commitment and given your word, I assume I can trust you. So you're going to start seeing some increase come in. And I can tell you right now, the increase, there's a good chance, and odds are in favor of it coming in from ways you had not anticipated. You're not expecting it, because you're not expecting it to come from XYZ sources. You may not think of it as increase in pound. And then after you spend it on something else, and you're driving home with a big smile on your face saying, oh, wow, look at this stuff. And it's going to hit you. It's like, oh, man, that was pound money. Then you're going to have to apologize to God. Now, He's not going to beat you up, because remember, He knows this is a learning curve for most Christians. We've never thought of things like this. So you've got this pound and you have the provision, and you make this commitment to Him. Now, once you've made that commitment to Him, it's like that bank account that's called pound, it's His. He's in heaven, but that's His money, and you don't touch it. You're supposed to use it to spread the gospel, whatever that means. You're supposed to use it for His purposes, for kingdom purposes. And this whole concept can cause a tremendous amount of financial restructuring within your home, because we are conditioned by even religious teaching that any increase is in our hands, our disposal, our discretion, and we can do whatever we want with it whenever we want to do it. And so somebody comes up and hands us $1,000, we stand up and testify, praise God, somebody came up and gave me $1,000 yesterday, and now we're going to be able to do this and that and buy that thing over there. When's the last time anybody ever stood up and testified, folks, you're not going to believe this, but somebody came up to me yesterday and handed me $1,000 in cash. Can you believe how many Bibles I'm going to be able to purchase and use for the street ministry with this? You never hear testimonies like that, because we're taught to use increase for self, not for kingdom purposes. Well, as we begin developing in the pound, I can tell you right now, emergencies are going to come up. And you're going to be thinking, man, that money is just sitting there in the bank. And the bigger the balance gets in the pound account, the more tempting it's going to be to tap into it. When that pound account reaches $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000, and you've got a washing machine that just flooded the basement, you're going to be thinking, what is $300 for a little inexpensive washing machine? Or what's, you know, $125 to get this one repaired? I mean, it's not that much. There's $4,000 in this pound account. It's not going to, I mean, God, you're really not going to miss, I mean, come on, God. You got to help me here. As though God doesn't know what's happened. As though we're having to inform Him of something He already knew before it took place. You see what I'm saying? When you develop this pound, when you start operating in a pound account, it is going to take a tremendous amount of discipline. Because as God sees you demonstrating faithfulness and managing what you say now belongs to Him, money's going to come in. Somebody will come along and stick a $20 bill in your hand. And you'll say, wow, praise God. That's just what I needed so my wife and I could go out to dinner tomorrow night. Well, is that what it was given to you for? Did you go to God and ask Him, Father, may I please have money so my wife and I can go out and have a steak dinner tomorrow night? Did you ask Him that? Well, no, not really. So what makes you think that's why it got put in your hands? See what I'm saying? And this is where a lot of people mess up and go back to the old ways of doing things because they still don't understand. We're not here on this planet for self. We are here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our religion has taught us that serving Him simply means going to church and all those kinds of things. It's so much more than that. It goes so much further than that. Well, praise God. Got a bonus at work. Well, what are you going to do with it? Oh, we're going to remodel the house and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Were you expecting the bonus? Well, we thought we might get one, but you know, we weren't really sure. It was based upon company profits. So you didn't know if you're going to get a bonus or not, did you? No. Nobody promised it to you, did they? Well, no. But now you have it in your hands, don't you? Well, yeah. So you have increased, don't you? Uh-huh. Well, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to pound it? Or are you going to just spend it? Well, now, Brother Martin, this sounds very legalistic. It sounds very, very, like God's some sort of a taskmaster and that we never can do anything and we can't. Again, you're missing the whole point. Think of it this way. What if we have been trained our entire religious life with a pound and provision concept? What if we had been trained from Sunday school on up that God supplies all of our need? Seek first the kingdom of God. These things will be added unto you. You take your increase and see to it that it's used the way He wants you to so that the gospel can be spread and other people can hear about Jesus because there are people dying and going to hell and we need to do our part. What if we had been taught that way? From childhood on up, do you think our whole concept of finances and prosperity would be different? Please, again, think about it. The term biblical prosperity, as it's taught in so many circles, is all about personal increase for personal use. Just go out and buy the tapes. Just go out and listen to the messages. Buy the books and read them in the bookstore. It almost all revolves around how can we get more? Hardly any of them are focused on we need to do what's necessary to get more for His purposes, knowing that He is going to help us in the area of provision. Does this sound like a communist state that everybody has to live in the same kind of a house and that we all have to drive the same? No, it's not like that at all. It's each individual person going to God and saying, God, help me figure out exactly what's provision for us. And then help me to understand pound. And help me to get this established. And I'm telling you now, I realize that this goes completely against the grain of most prosperity teaching. But I am standing before you tonight, and there are others that I could name by name, but I won't. But I am standing before you tonight as a living, breathing testimony that what I'm sharing with you about this whole pound and provision thing, it works. It works. I'm telling you, it works. It's not an overnight thing. You don't say, okay, tonight, praise God, pound provision from this night forward. And then tomorrow, you wake up and everything has changed. It is a process. Just like physically you grow, well, financially you are going to grow. But the priorities have to be in order. Now, a question was asked, well, what if I've given into ministries that they did the wrong thing with the money? Am I going to be held accountable for that? Well, did you know that they were doing wrong things with the money when you gave it to them? Well, most of us don't. No, you're not going to be held accountable for that. You gave in faith believing that what you were told was true. If I stand up and I say, all right, now folks, tonight's super offering night. You know, God's going to bless you abundantly if you give to the Bible college and so forth. And so you all write out checks for $1,000. Then I take the $1,000 and, you know, go on this, you know, 3-month cruise around the world. I did something with the money that I told you I would not do. In other words, I didn't follow through with my promise to you, the way I gave you my word. It's not your fault. I'm the one that did wrong with it. I'm the one that will stand accountable for that, not you. But then another question, what about all the money I'm given in the past that I gave under a wrong belief system? I was giving to get, tithing to avoid being cursed and all these other... What about all the money that I've given in the past and gave it under the, let's just say, the wrong system? Is that just money that's lost? Well, it kind of depends on what you mean by that. For a moment, as far as, is it lost with regard to personal increase? Yes. I don't like to hear that, Brother Martin. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. For the last 15, 30 years, however, you've been doing it and you still don't see the results from it. You already know on the inside it's dust in the wind. It's gone, all right? And you're not going to get anything out of it. Not like you were promised. You see what I'm saying? Now, for somebody to stand up and just tell you bluntly, yeah, it's gone. And you're not going to get anything out of it as far as the increase that you were told you were going to get. You don't want to hear that. But it's the harsh reality that you have been living for the last X number of years because you've never seen the increase from it. Is it lost with regard to the work that it did for winning people? No. No. When that money went out and it touched the lives of people and it changed those lives, that is I just put it like this, that is laid to your account because you gave... And you touch somebody else's life. But as far as the personal increase is concerned, no, I don't mean to disappoint you. You say, but what am I going to do? I've been counting on all of what I gave to produce something in my life. Well, what I'm going to share with you tonight, it will change your life financially. And it's going to be up to you whether or not you accept this or reject it. But please keep in mind that what we've been taught all these years, it has yet to produce for us the way that we've always been taught it would produce. Now let's talk about, continuing this concept of the pound, let's talk about the pound in your ministry, particularly when you're starting out. That's very important because there are a lot of people that are going to be called, actually some of you already know you're called, and others you will be called in the future. So don't take this lightly because you may be one of those that need to rely on this at some point in time, maybe a year, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years down the road, whatever, I don't know. Pound and ministry, especially starting out. You've already determined your provision amount and the remainder plus increase is your pound. The remainder plus increase is your pound. Increase can be money from offerings or tape and book sales. I want to stop right there. It's not wrong to sell tapes and books. Just because I don't do it doesn't mean that it's wrong. And I'm also open to this. If the Lord comes along someday and says, now, Jim, you're going to start charging for tapes, and this is what you're going to start charging. You're going to start charging for books that you write, and this is what you'll charge. So I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. Okay, so don't take me and say, well, Brother Martin, you know, you're supposed to do it like that. No, you're supposed to do it the way God tells you to do it, not the way I do it. So increase can be money from offerings or tape and book sales. If you're working a secular job plus you're ministering, your provision more than likely is going to be from your job. Now, it's possible that your job is not doing everything that it should, all right, financially speaking. If that's the case, then you need to spend some time in prayer and find out if you're at the right place, all right? Because we're not trying to create doctrine here. We're not trying to say, I don't want to say something and somebody leave here tonight and say, well, I got to go in and quit. I got to do that. You know, don't get weird on me, all right? And don't go tell your pastor and your boss and all this other that I'm the one that's messed up your life. No, you get in there and seek God because everybody's life is different, okay? And the reason I keep saying things like this is because I know the potential for people to go off the deep end and get really weird and then come back and blame me and say, well, but you said, is it? So all this is on tape. If you come back to me and say, well, that you said, I'll make sure you've got this tape. We may sit down and listen to it together. So, if you're full-time in ministry, then both your provision and your pound will be coming from offerings and tape and book sales. Now, let me just throw something out. as far as offerings are concerned, be very cautious. If you're called to whatever ministry, you better be very cautious about charging for your services. Meaning, don't put a price tag on your ministry. If you're an evangelist and somebody wants you to come and preach, you better make sure God's the one that has told you to tell them, unless you can guarantee me X amount of dollars, I can't come. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out because that kind of stuff goes on far too much. Nevertheless, as you're starting in your ministry, you're going to require supplies. And even now, if you're involved in ministry, the same thing is true. Supplies can include stuff like sound equipment, a building, vehicles, blank tapes, tape duplicators, computers, just everything you can think of. And then maybe if you're not pastoring, you might need an office. If you're an evangelist, well, you don't need a church necessarily, a church building, but you'd need some kind of office facility, whether in a house or outside of the house. So naturally, you need things that you can associate with what's going on inside your office. But you don't have the liberty to freely purchase real or perceived ministry-related supplies. This is extremely important. Just because you're in ministry, you do not have the freedom. Now remember, we're talking pound provision here. You don't have the freedom to just take that money and go spend it whatever you think you need to spend it on. I know for myself, this concept applies for me. There's provision and there's pound. And when it comes to purchasing things, and I don't care what it is, I am very sensitive about it. I try to be really vague because if I get too specific, some people can have a tendency to want to run out and buy everything I name. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a blessing to Brother Martin. He said he needed this, so I'm going to go buy it for him. And I have to watch out because I don't want anything to sound like any kind of manipulation. But there are some things that I wouldn't mind having and some things that could be used. But I can't justify the purchase yet. Meaning on the inside of me, there's not a release. Even though it could be used and used for a good purpose, I can't justify it in here. The peace isn't there. The freedom, the liberty to just, you know, go on out, spend the money out of the pound account and go do that. Whether it's something the church could use, whether it's something that I have an office at home, whether it's something could be used in there. If I don't have the peace on the inside, it doesn't get purchased. And I don't touch it. I leave it alone. And I'm telling you, that can take some discipline. You know, you can be, when you're thinking of things like sound equipment, it's like, boy, you want to have CD players and a mixing board and speakers and better and this and louder and all these kind of things. After all, we are singing for Jesus, so people need to understand what we're saying and blah, blah, blah. And boy, you can get caught up in wanting to take the money that comes in and go spend it for more equipment, but you don't have the freedom to do that unless God tells you, go spend the money and buy that $500 microphone or that $1,000 microphone. He may want you to stay with the $89.95 microphone, which, by the way, you can buy some good microphones for $89.95. I know. The pound belongs to your master, not you. You can call pound ministry account, all right? Pound's just a term we're using. It doesn't belong to you. So you don't have the freedom to just take it and spend it wherever, whenever. It's his money. That means you go to him and say, now, Father, Lord, this is your money, and I perceive that there's a need for a new tape player or a new printer or a new computer or whatever. Now, this is what it's going to cost. I've priced them out, and this model, I believe, is going to be the best. Now, I need to know, is it okay for me to purchase that? Do you want me to go do this? Because if you do, I'll go out and do it today. And if not, it's okay. We'll just continue on with what we have right now. If he doesn't give you the peace about it, if he doesn't give you the okay, and please learn to differentiate between your emotions and the voice of the Lord. If he doesn't give you the peace about it, you make enough mistakes, you're going to learn the difference. Because you go out and buy stuff, then you're going to feel like a dog on the inside. How do you know that, Brother Martin? I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I remember one time we were pastoring down in Springboro, and I wanted to expound a soundboard. Well, I didn't want to go out and buy a new soundboard. We had, I think it was like an 8-channel or 10 or whatever board. and I wanted to increase that. Well, I knew you could piggyback a soundboard. What that means is you buy one soundboard and you hook it up to the channel of another soundboard, and so that increases the number of channels, and you don't go buy, you know, anyway. So I went to this place, and they had a really, this thing looked like it came right out of the box, but it was used. And they said, we've tested it. This thing runs great. There is nothing wrong with it at all. I said, wow, that's really cool. That's really cool. So, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to pray about this. So I'm praying. It's like, oh, God. You know, we could use it and all this other. And we could. We could have used it. And God, we could, you know, and I'm telling him everything and all, doing all the stuff that's right. So, you know, can I go get it? And I answered for him, yes, you can go get it. Whoa, hallelujah. So I drove back to the place. And I'm sitting in my car. I open the door, and as soon as I open the door, on the inside I hear, "Don't buy that soundboard; it won't work." And I'm sitting there, hand on the door, door open. It's like, well, yeah, it'll work. They told me, they tested it. They said it's going to work. Now you know it's going to work because they told me. Again, don't buy the soundboard; it won't work. I know it's. That can't be God. I know that's not God. I'm going to go buy it. I went in and I bought the thing. I took it down to the church. Now, remember, Springboro, from our house, we're like 25 miles one way. So I go in, I buy it, and I'm all happy. You know, boy, look at this. It's great. And I take it down, and I'm not a super expert on these things, but I am pretty knowledgeable about sound systems. I got it hooked up, and I know I had it hooked up right. Because like I said, I'm pretty knowledgeable about these things. It's like, praise God, turn it on, click, test. What's the deal here? Unplug, replug, nothing. Man, what's wrong? Duh. I already knew what was wrong. He told me. So I unhook it, drive 25 miles back to the place where I got it. And it didn't work. I mean, was it? Well, did you do this? I did that. Well, did you try this? Well, I didn't try that. Well, that'll probably work. Okay, 25 miles back. hook up. Test. Oh, man, what's going on? Unhook, hook, on, off, hook. Test. Nothing, man. It's dead. I don't understand this. Unhook, drive 25 miles, take it back. Man, it's still not working. He says, I don't understand that. The only thing it could be is if the, I'll put it like this. If the resistance in your board you have now is different, the ohm rating in the board you have is different than the ohm rating on this board. If that's the case, you can't piggyback them. So that's probably what it is. Oh, man. But I couldn't say, I wish I'd have known this ahead of time. Okay? Because he told me, don't buy the board, it won't work. Not that the board was broken, it just wouldn't work the way I was going to do it. But I had the better idea. All right, can you see how you can get messed up in this? We could use it. We never did get another board, by the way. But we could have used it. It would have been a benefit. It would have been a blessing. We could have expanded some things what we were doing. But I wasn't supposed to do it. It wasn't a bad thing, but I wasn't supposed to do it. I did it anyway. And lost basically an entire day messing around with something that God tried to warn me. He tried to tell me, but I wouldn't listen. So I learned the hard way. So now, I give this to you as an example. Don't buy the board. It won't work. Use your pound for His glory. Buying that soundboard was not buying for His glory. Because He said, don't do it. Even though He knew what we needed in that church, He still said, don't do it. When it comes to your pound account and your giving and so forth, you are to give as He directs. Your first line of giving is to be your church. Your first line of giving is to be your church. Your first line of giving is to be your church. If you aren't faithful to a church and you're not submitted to pastoral authority, you are in rebellion to God and His structure for the body of Christ. And the whole concept of submission, it doesn't mean only if you agree. If God says, I want you in that church there, and you go there, He's not saying, I want you to go there and be submitted to the pastor only when you agree with what he's doing. Because sooner or later, you're going to be in disagreement with what your pastor says or does. I mean, it's just inevitable. You don't understand or whatever. Well, I don't think we should do that. And I don't think we should do this. And I don't know why the pastor is doing it. I don't know why he isn't. Okay, well, you know, then what? You get mad and you leave. Or you get a bunch of people together and try and vote him out. So, when it comes to submission, you're supposed to be submitted to the work of a local church. And now, again, if you're not, I'm telling you, this is going to affect your prosperity. It's going to affect your increase. It's going to affect your blessings. It's going to affect this whole area of your life. You may not believe it, but I'm telling you it will. Because God has structure and order established in the church. You know, back over there in Samuel, it talks about... Well, look over there. Look in 1 Samuel 15. I want you to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 23. Now look at this. It says, for rebellion... Is everybody there? Now, if you don't have King James, don't have a clue what you're looking at. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. For rebellion... Now, the next two words is as... They're in italics. Take them away. For rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. God's perspective is rebellion is the sin of... Not is as. He says it's all in the same boat. Rebellion and witchcraft, the same thing. Now, he goes on to say that stubbornness, iniquity, and idolatry. Rebellion, the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, iniquity, and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, you can say, well, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us today. Oh, really? You don't think this concept applies to us today? This had nothing to do with the law. It had everything to do with the attitude of the heart. This concept applies today just like it did back then. This, when he's talking about rebellion and witchcraft here, he's talking about the fact that if you are in rebellion to the authority that God has established in the body of Christ, what you're actually doing is saying, I want to be in control. I do not like what you're doing, so therefore I rebel against your authority for the purpose of trying to exert my own convictions over yours. That's what happens in churches. You have somebody that says, well, bless God, I'm sorry, I just don't like that. I don't like what you're doing. I don't agree. You can't talk to me that way. You can't treat me that way. Who do you think you are? I'm just as good as you. Or however the conversation would go. In other words, you're saying, I don't care that God has established you as the pastor in this local fellowship, and I don't care that God's put me here. You are not going to boss me around. You are not going to tell me what to do. Well, fine. I mean, you go on and live your own life and do what you... But you are going to stand before God and answer for that. Because what you're trying to do is control and manipulate the leadership of that church. And I'm going to tell you what, you get on some thin ice spiritually when you start doing stuff like that. You are opening the door for an attack of the enemy. And man, he is just rubbing... I'm telling you now, if Satan can work in the lives of people to get them into rebellion within a church... It's like he's just standing there saying, come on, I know you can say it. Mouth off. Go ahead, do it. Stand up against him. Don't put up with this. You're just as spiritual and called as he is. You don't have to put up with this. Tell him. And, I've heard some... I don't want to prophesy gloom and doom, but I just tell you folks, there are people who have done that, and it's cost them, in some cases, their life. They've died. They've been killed. The pastor didn't kill them. He may have felt like it. What I'm saying is it opened a door. See, you can say what you want, but I don't believe all that kind of stuff's a coincidence. I don't believe that when you hear a story about somebody being in rebellion to spiritual authority over them, and then tragedy strikes. I am firmly convinced, based on what I see in the Word of God, That is a door that they have opened by their choice to an attack of the enemy, and it has set them up for stuff. We don't have to be that way. If we choose to be in submission to the things that God has established, do you understand? When you make that choice to be in submission, agree or disagree, I'm still going to be in submission. There's a covering. There's a protection that extends over you because you've lined up with what God has ordained for the body of Christ. And right now He has ordained for us
a break.
Glory to God. This with, it's His money. If He wants it invested, who cares? I mean, if I have said this is your account, I'll do whatever you want with it. So what if He tells me to invest it in Microsoft or in Elder Beerman or DPNL or I don't, who cares? You just do what He tells you to do. After all, we're just the stewards, right? We're just the stewards handling, managing what belongs to Him. Now, foolishness. Talk about foolishness in the pound. You do not spend it on yourself. This makes you a wicked servant. Vacations, personal things, those are just... That doesn't mean you can't ever have a vacation. Remember back up there, entertainment, miscellaneous? When you go to God and ask Him to help you establish your provision, part of that provision, don't be surprised if He says, I want you to set aside X amount for a vacation that you and the family can, you know, go to the beach for a week next summer. You don't think He loves you enough that He wouldn't... Yeah, somebody over here likes that. Say it again, Lord. Say it again. Do you see what I'm saying? About not getting goofy on this kind of stuff and not thinking that God wouldn't want you to do things like that. But you get direction from Him. See, this is a whole different kind of pressure. It's pressure to have a relationship with somebody who died for you. To get direction from Him. That's a different kind of pressure than we're really used to. If you are delinquent on bills, do not start a pound account. But I'm supposed to honor the Lord with my money. That's right, you are. You honor the Lord with your money by keeping the word you gave when you borrowed, when you charged, when you purchased. And you've got people out, oh gosh, does this get me on a soapbox now? You've got people out there in the body of Christ, Christians, and they've got this pious attitude, and some of them don't even know it's a bunch of pious prides. And they'll give to this ministry and give to that ministry, and they owe their utilities, and they owe, I mean, they're like 30, 60, 90, 120 days behind, the car's about to get repossessed, and they're looking for, they're giving their money away to preachers. Don't do that, because it makes you a liar. You've got a bunch of verses here that talk about stealing and about your honesty and about your integrity. When you borrowed money, whether it was for your car, your house, or anything, if you go now and start taking money to establish a pound account, you're stealing. You understand me? You are stealing from those people. Now the key word in here is delinquent. And you're hearing something tonight that I know goes in opposition to what a lot... They say, bless God, you're behind on your bills. You need to sow a big offering tonight. No, I don't. I need to give that money to my creditors and stand behind my word. I don't need to give it to you, Mr. Big Mouth Preacher. It's wrong to preach that. If I stand up and I tell you to take money that you're 90 days behind on paying somebody and give it to me, I'm telling you to steal from them. It's wrong. It's wrong to do that. And this is a concept that people in the body of Christ sometimes just don't seem to grasp this. And don't, for crying out loud, don't get yourself deeper into debt that you can't pay by charging your offerings on a credit card. It's just kind of stuff. It's like, it's not, I'm not better than anybody else, but I can sense a lot of displeasure from the Lord on the inside concerning these kind of things that are going on in the body of Christ and how many preachers are actually endorsing it.
Amen.
It's not right. Well, right along with that, if you're a delinquent, you also have no business taking vacations or upgrading your lifestyle. Again, the key word is delinquent. Delinquent. 30, 60, 90, 100, 20, 100. If you are delinquent, you get your stuff caught up. And you, hey, let me throw this one out to you. It is illegal, if you are on welfare, and I don't know if you are or not, but if you're on welfare, it is illegal for you to give offerings. You can't do it. Well, I can too, bless God. No, excuse me. You went to the government and you asked for help. And the government is giving you our tax dollars to put food on the table and milk in your baby's bottle. And if you take that money and you put it in an offering, the government, if they find out, they can cut you off. And if you're a minister and you have somebody in your congregation and they're on welfare and you know they're giving offerings, you have to give it back and tell them to stop. If you don't, it's going to be your door they knock on too. It's against the law. You can't do that. You say, well, what's the logic behind it? Well, if you can afford to give money and offerings, then you don't need to be on welfare. Now, I know that may seem convoluted in the logic, but that's the way the government looks at it. In other words, you wouldn't be on welfare if you had money coming in, now would you? If you're delinquent, you've got no business doing this stuff, going beyond the vacations and all this other. And filing bankruptcy to reduce or eliminate your debt is stealing. Oh, Brother Martin, it protects me from losing everything I had. Well, let me just... You go to God and ask Him, Father, is it okay if I file bankruptcy to avoid having to pay what I promised to pay? In other words, there's a law on our books here in this country that says if I file bankruptcy, I can legally break a promise that I made to somebody. Just ask Him if it's okay for you to do that. Then go back and read these verses. If you file bankruptcy because you've been foolish with your money and you're just trying to eliminate the debt by filing, you're wrong. Oh, Brother Martin, I disagree. Again, you go talk to God about it and find out if anything in His Word substantiates that kind of action. If you're foolish with money, don't expect promotion from God. Remember the parable we just read here in chapter 19 of Luke. If you're foolish with the money, if you're going to be a wicked servant, don't expect promotion from God. Now, we're going to continue talking about this concept of the pound and provision and so forth next week. But I'm telling you, please meditate on this, because this is absolutely one of the most powerful keys. If you get this down on the inside of you, I'm telling you now, you're on your way from where you've been to the inheritance, to the richly, and to the freely. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. And Father, I realize that some of the things that have been shared tonight just go completely against the grain of so much that is taught in the body of Christ. But we want to understand these things from Your perspective, not from what everybody else says. We want Your truth sunk deep in our hearts so that we can become those good servants and those wise stewards, Father, over everything that You've placed into our hands. Help us to understand better the concept of pound and provision and what that means to You and how to operate in that. Now, Father, as we leave this place, we ask for and by faith receive divine protection. And Jesus, we love You so dearly and give You all the glory. In Your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you later. Oh, hey, before you leave. Already told Elijah to go anoint Elisha and us to take a break. See you in about 5.